Good to see everyone out this morning. Before I get into the lesson, I just wanted to thank Cody for helping me out. Me and Cody both signed up to preach both sermons on Sunday, but I have finals coming up, and trying to teach the class and do both sermons was quite a bit for one Sunday, so I really appreciated him helping me out. And I think we're going to do it again next Sunday, so we're going to divide it up again, but I really appreciated it. And also, I really appreciated his lesson. I thought it was great. It's always nice to look at, you know, creation and everything that goes along with it. So, to kind of go along with the finals I have coming up, I'm currently enrolled as a medical student, which is kind of odd for an IT person to go into medical stuff. I'm not very squeamish on things, but some of the tests show you images of diseases, and you have to say what it is. So I was like, that's why I didn't want to go into medical stuff the first time, but hey, this is a medical IT degree, so it's interesting. But one of the things that I read a whole lot about in this medical program is the heart. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is the heart. And I kind of just have this passage here in the beginning from Proverbs. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. And that kind of sets the tone for what I want to talk about today, because we're going to be talking about our physical heart and our spiritual heart. But I thought this verse kind of talks about both. It kind of talks about our physical body and our spiritual heart, because you can think of how good you feel, you know, with life when you have a sound heart, and how bad you feel when things are bad. And, you know, that's rottenness to the bones. So, to kind of set the stage for how I've kind of came up with our lesson today, because I'm going to be touching on both our physical heart and our biblical heart. But to represent our physical heart, I have this image of our physical heart, and I kind of like this image a lot better than the real images of hearts. So I thought this made it a little bit more cheerier than having a real heart here in this picture. But then we're going to be also talking about the biblical heart. So I'm going to have that represented actually by a heart. And throughout our lesson, these are going to be up in the top corner, so we can define what we're talking about here today. So to kind of describe our heart here, now that you see that I have both images up there in the top, so we're going to be talking about both the physical heart and the biblical heart. But let's kind of go over what our physical heart is today. So the purpose of the heart is to pump the blood to every organ of the body. The blood carries oxygen and nutrients to the tissue and removes waste products from the tissue. Therefore, life is dependent on the efficient operation of the heart. So we can see through this that our heart is very important to us. You know, and to think that our heart, it carries our nutrients to the rest of our body. So it's so important that as we breathe in air, it actually takes air from our lungs and passes out through the rest of your body. And then we take a look at our biblical heart today. When we talk about our biblical heart, the biblical heart speaks of the human heart, is speaking of things of man, a man's will, a man's emotions or feelings, a man's consciousness, or any combination of these. So when I was thinking of all of the verses and passages in the Bible that talk about the heart, you know, they're mainly talking about these biblical things of the heart, our emotions, feelings. So I thought of some quotes that, in sayings that we use today, that it's not talking about our physical heart, but our heart. And one of the things I thought of when I came up with this is, I know this by heart. People say that all the time. So what do they mean? Do they mean it by their physical heart, or do they know it by heart? And I didn't really know who to quote with this, because it's such a common saying, I don't think there was anybody that I could give credit to. So there's some other quotes that I ran across that I thought was very interesting. The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or touched. They must be felt with the heart. And that came from Helen Keller, who was blind. And to think of somebody like that said, you know, the most beautiful things cannot be seen, they must be felt with the heart. and, you know, just talk about feelings and emotions as we described it, the biblical heart. Also, I have a quote from Bob Hope that if you haven't any charity in your heart, you have the worst kind of heart trouble. You know, I think of Bob Hope. He's always was doing charity things for our military services. And also a quote from Ben Franklin, great beauty, great strength, and great riches are really and truly of no great use. A right heart exceeds all. So that kind of builds the stage for our heart and what we're going to discuss today. I just thought it was interesting to bring in these quotes because yet they can still have a biblical meaning to them. So we're going to talk about the heart here. And the first part, as you see, I have our human heart up there in our corner. So we're going to be talking about the word heart or cardio, and that would be from the Greek word. The Latin word is, it's still pronounced cardio, but it's like C-O-R-A-O. It's a combined meaning of heart used in the formal compound of words cardiogram. So we can think of all the words that begin with cardio actually mean heart because it's the Greek or Latin root word. And it's always impressive to me to find a word that has no other root to it. Because when we think of other words, well, that means something else. Like today we were talking about Nicodemus and what his name meant. Well, the heart has always stood for our heart. There's no other root word to it, which is not very common, did not have another root word to that. So the heart is a hollow muscle that pumps blood through the blood vessels by repeated rhythmic contractions. It is found in animals with a circulatory system. I don't know why I hesitated there. So we see that it's in all of these animals, and it's a hollow muscle that contracts. I was reading last night that if you pick up a tennis ball and squeeze it as hard as you can, that's how hard your heart pumps. So if you pick up a tennis ball, and it does that, we'll see here in the next slides how often it does that. So to talk about the heart, I think of when God breathed life into Adam there in Genesis 2 and 7. Because when he breathed life into Adam, you know, he was, you know, fully alive. I think of his heart pumping and, you know, him being able to move freely. You know, that gave him life, that pumping of his heart. So to kind of go along with the human heart, I just got some facts about it. The average adult heart beats 72 times a minute. So remember that tennis ball, if you squeeze that 72 times a minute. So it's 100,000 times a day, 3,600,000 times a year, and 2.5 billion times during a lifetime. So every day the heart creates enough energy to drive a truck 20 miles. In a lifetime, that's equivalent to driving to the moon and back. So we think of how much energy our heart creates. And it's an electrical pulse that keeps us going. And the heart begins beating at 4 weeks after conception and does not stop until death. So 4 weeks after conception, that heart is formed and beating. That's a true amazing thing to me, that the heart begins at that early of an age to circulate blood through this system. So for those of you that know me, know that I like to play with math and some numbers. So this idea about the heart creating enough energy to drive to the moon and back, and if anybody's interested, I think the distance to the moon is over 250,000 miles from the Earth, so there and back would be about 500,000. But I was looking that if you can drive 20 miles a day, that's 365 days times 20, because that's how many times a year, that's 7,300 miles a year, and over 90 years, that's 657,000 miles. And I had an instructor that was a heart doctor, and he said that the heart is the best engine ever made. And that's kind of why I wanted to bring this up, because if somebody was going to sell you a car and said, hey, this car is going to run 657,000 miles, you know, that's quite a sales pitch. And just think that our heart does that. It's our strongest muscle. And it's what propels us. So now that we have our other heart up here in this corner, we're going to talk about the heart in the Bible. So, I believe we've already touched on Job's heart and everything like that. The word heart is mentioned 835 times. And we're going to redo all of these 835 times. No, I'm just kidding. That's why it's kind of hard to pull out specific verses. But I came up with a few that I think that we can kind of leverage to use in this opportunity we have this morning. So here in Proverbs 20 and 5, it says, conceal the heart. In the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. 1 Timothy 1 and 5, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. And I kind of just have these verses up here that discuss the heart. Now, these verses are also part of larger stories that they bring out these specific heart things. But also, here in Daniel, it's been several... I thought of a lot of the sermons that I've put together. A lot of what I've said has gone back to things that dealt with Daniel. And I was thinking of this story when the king put out all of the meat and everything in front of Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and they didn't eat upon it. And I this verse kind of came to mind here, that it said that it would, without purpose in his heart, that he would defile himself. You know, that it would actually affect him that much to partake upon those things. So it would be like hurting his heart. So what do we do in order to keep a healthy heart? So when putting together things for a healthy heart, now that we're back to our physical heart, I came up with the 5 healthy heart tips. And I gathered these from a lot of different websites that talked about the most important things for a healthy heart. Number one on all of them was don't smoke or use tobacco. That was the number one thing on all of the websites. Also, exercise for 30 minutes on most days of the week, because some of them said 3 days, some of them said every day. So exercise, we see, is very healthy. Eat a heart-healthy diet and maintain a healthy weight and get regular health screenings. And while I was putting this together, I was eating a candy bar, drinking Mountain Dew, and I was like, well, I think I may have one of the 5 of our heart healthy tips. But, you know, we all know what it takes to keep a healthy heart. These are things that we know of. They tell us. Do we do it? I don't know. You know, these are things that we have to work on. Well, it's the same with our biblical heart. There's things we have to work on to keep a healthy heart. And like I said, there's 835 verses, so I'm just picking out some that I thought that talk about, you know, being happy with the heart. So we're going to look at giving, which is something we took part in just a little bit ago. And as we see in 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, it says, so let each one give as purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So we see in here that we have purpose in our heart to not give grudgingly. And I'm thinking, you know, that grudgingly, you know, would be in your heart. And that God loves a cheerful giver, so it can bring joy to your heart to give, you know, not grudgingly, to give back to the church. To go along with that, I was listening to a lot of music while I was putting this together, and I like to sing along with a lot of music, so, you know, I was thinking of this song more in a biblical sense, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And to go along with that, I think of how much our singing uplifts us, and how much that you can get joy from singing. And, you know, we sing to one another, you know, to lift up each other. And that brings joy to our hearts. And it also says that it brings joy to the heart of the Lord. So that's kind of a happy thing to talk about with the heart. And also, we talk about repentance. In Acts 8:22, it said, repent therefore of your wickedness and pray that God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven. So we also think that bad thoughts and everything are almost conceived in the heart. you know, that it's these things are in our heart for us to be forgiven of. So now that we've kind of gave a few verses about what keeps a healthy heart and what keeps a biblical healthy heart, let's talk about whether our biblical heart, if we need open heart surgery on our biblical heart. And of course, you know, I just have our image up here of our biblical heart, and we're going to talk about maybe some surgery that we may need on our biblical heart. So here in Matthew 6:21, it says, "For where treasure is, your heart will be also." So I was thinking of that. If our treasure isn't in God, or, you know, doing the things that we need to be, well, our heart's going to be, if we want these worldly things, then that's where our heart's going to be. But if, you know, we need to focus on heaven, and that's where our heart needs to be. So that's where our treasures lie, are in heaven. So that's where our heart needs to be focused on. So I was thinking, you know, if your heart needs open heart surgery, maybe one of these are the things that we ought to look at. Also in Proverbs 16:1, it says the preparations of the heart belong to who? Man. So it's up to us to prepare our heart. But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So I came across this verse, and it's really stuck with me. That who is responsible for the heart? Because we are talking about our physical heart, we're responsible for our physical heart. And we're responsible for our biblical heart. That we need to keep both healthy. So our heart, here in Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the divisions of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." This verse, I've used it several times. It really is an example of what we can use. I don't know if anybody has been talking to somebody and you've brought up verses or things and you can almost see it affect them. And I think this verse, you know, that the word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, because I've brought up verses to people before and you can almost see that hit them. And I was just thinking, you know, that is felt in the heart. And also, Philippians 4:6-7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, by thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds through Jesus Christ." So I kind of put these verses here on the same page so we can kind of think of these things together. That we think of these things that are so strong, that the Word of God is so strong, but the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts. So, if we're looking at protecting our heart and keeping our heart healthy, this is one of the verses that builds from it. So, I have a couple more verses here, and also I don't have the picture up here in the top corner, because we're going to be talking about the heart again. But here at the end, we're going to kind of make a decision where we're going to be talking about our physical heart or our biblical heart. So kind of look at Romans 10:10, and it says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So you have to believe, but you have to believe with your heart. It says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness." So we have to believe with all of our heart. And also in 1 Peter 3:21, it says, "There is also an antitype which saves us, baptism, not the removal of filth from the flesh, but an answer of good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Now, I didn't have the word heart in this verse, but it also plays off of Romans 10:10, where it talks about the heart one believes unto righteousness. And then here in 1 Peter, we talk about what's needed to be done if your heart's in the right place. So to kind of conclude this lesson, when we think about our heart and whether it's in the right place or whether we need to perform a surgery on our heart, and here at the end, and if our heart's in the right place, well, we'd be talking about our biblical heart and not our physical heart. Our physical heart may need some work, but our biblical heart is what's important to us and to God. We need to keep our physical bodies healthy, but also what's more important to keep healthy, our biblical heart or our physical heart. Because we want to make sure that we've done the right things to keep a biblical heart healthy. And I kind of wanted to put this together as a way to think of our heart and the way to think of that we need to keep our bodies healthy and our spiritual heart healthy. So with this last verse, it talks about baptism and about what it is and what it stands for. And at this time, if you would like to be baptized, please come forward as we stand and sing.